From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. To some people, Father's Day can seem like an afterthought, kind of like a dad joke, if you will. Here's why, according to comedian Ali Siddiq.
Mother's Day is the second most celebrated holiday in the world. Christmas is first, so that means it's Jesus, then your mama. You know what Father's Day fall at? Number 20. I can't think of 18 other holidays.
But dads are just as likely as moms to see parenting as central to their identity. That's according to the Pew Research Center. So how do we change the way that some people seem to not take fatherhood so seriously? Well, I've got three dads here to help us figure it out. On Second Thought, guest hosts Adam Ragusa and Tony Harris are with me. Tony also hosts the true crime show called Scene of the Crime on Investigation Discovery. Adam is a journalist in residence at the Mercer University School of Journalism. Adam, I think we know your voice. Can you say hello?
Hello. Hello, gentlemen and lady.
Hey, we do also have Georgia State University professor Hector Fernandez. He's one of our regular break room guests. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
And early happy Father's Day to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's start with the reason that you all are dads, because you have kids. Adam, tell me about your little guys.
Oh, Freddie is 3.5 and a total madman. Leo is 1, just turned 1, and I suppose it's
babies.
Sort of common.
Yeah.
Real little ones. Yeah. But he's cool, Leo is. He's like emerging as this really kind of independent personality and just is pretty content to sit in the corner and stack blocks. And I feel like I'm neglecting him, but he kind of doesn't want my attention. As opposed to Freddie, who's like my best friend, and we hang out together all the time.
Well, so on the other end of the spectrum here, Tony, you've got a son and a daughter, what, college age?
Yeah. My son graduated from Missouri. He's a Mizzou Tiger.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. That was a year or so ago, and he's working, knock wood, right? He's working. And my daughter is, she's going to school now as well. She's 20 years old, and they're both just terrific kids, and love them madly. Yeah.
Hector, how about your son? He's
well. Sebastian is 18. He's about to start college. He's going to Cornell.
Yeah.
According to my friends, he's a fine young man. He loves music, plays clarinet in the band. He had open heart surgery when he was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's intense. I mean, that's a lot to go through at the early stage of
your
kid's
life.
Yeah,
it is. But it's a learning experience.
Wow. Well, so all dads getting to some point in your life with your kids. Are your kids going to be bringing you breakfast in bed on Sunday? Anybody?
No,
I don't think so.
Father's Day just gets no respect.
The rest of the day will be special, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not happening. No, you're not in my room. No. Stay out.
Well, how about that? I mean, who were you looking to for role models when you were growing up? I mean, the role of fathers has really transformed dramatically in the last, I'm going to say, couple of decades, 40, let's say 50 years.
Well, obviously, I try to do some things like my dad, some other things I try to improve upon. But a really weird, at least for Latin America, I remember when I was a child, I really admired Muhammad Ali.
Oh, wow.
And that was not very common in Latin America.
Mm. Why Ali?
Well, yeah.
I just loved the guy. I don't know why. I mean, the swagger, you know, the presence, and, I mean, even the fact that he was a loudmouth.
Right, yeah, that's interesting. Right. That's a, you know, very bravado-laden kind of guy to admire. But, you know, also nobody could knock him down. Was that important to
absolutely,
you as a kid?
Absolutely. Very much so.
And How about you, Tony?
Yeah, my story was a little different. My dad left the house when I guess I was about 6 years old, and I didn't have that male figure in the house. And so, you know, for me, Father's Day is just another reason and opportunity for me to thank my mom and to thank the mom of my kids, both of whom did, you know, and continue to do amazing work. And my mom still mothers me. Grown man, but she still mothers me.
All right.
She saw something I did on television. Tony, be neutral. Be neutral. That's your job. You got upset and angry. Be neutral. And so that's, for me, Father's Day is an opportunity for me to say thanks to my mom and to the mother of my kids. But my uncle, later in life, I'm about 16, 17 years old, kind of stepped up and filled that role as a role model. I don't know if he thought of himself in that way, but that's the way I viewed him.
So there was a part of you that was searching for that dad figure.
No question. No question.
Do you think that came from without or within? I mean, did you need a man to look at, or did you see other people with their fathers and think, I want one of those?
I just knew I was missing something that was important in my life, and I did. I saw others with their fathers and wanted that for myself and my mom, who did an amazing job, but she would say it pretty plainly that, you know, there are some things that I can't give you. There's some things, there's some understanding about life and how you need to navigate life that I can't give you. And so I knew that that was a piece that I needed, and I was fortunate enough to find it in a couple of different places at critical moments of my life to propel me forward.
More from this Pew Research Center. They just published a bunch of stuff about fathers, and 7 out of 10 adults say that it is equally important for new babies to bond with their mother and their father. Now, Adam, your kids are pretty young. How did your life change when your kids were born? Did you feel like I have to be there in a way that maybe your father was or wasn't?
Well, my dad, I mean, I had a very affectionate and loving father, and my father's a psychologist, so he was very mindful of all of this stuff. Mm. But I think he was also, when we were very little, his career was just, all fires burning all the time. And I know from talking to him now that he was not as present when we were very small as he wanted to be, because he felt he needed to invest in his livelihood that would be our livelihood. And I've sort of come to fatherhood about the same time that he did in life, and my career is also really, really crazy right now. But I think I've made, and time will prove if this was the smart play or not, but I've really sacrificed more of my career, I think, than he did to be at home more.
That's good.
And I guess for now, but I'll also have less money for them for college. My only plan for college is to work at Mercer for the rest of my life so that they can go here for free.
Well, there are things money can't buy.
Right.
Well, that's a question. I mean, paid maternity leave, I mean, that isn't a guarantee in the U.S., but paternity leave can be even more tough to come by. And in the last 2 years, fathers who took time off to care for their newborns took about a week off. A mother spent 11 weeks on average. About half of adults said their employees put more pressure on fathers to get back to work quickly. So how does this change
that,
you know,
it, that.
In many ways, this pushes the dynamic in a traditional direction.
Let's make this very, very clear. Paternity leave is not about equality for men.
Right.
It is about equality for women. Hmm. If I don't get paternity leave, that means that the burden of caring for an infant falls disproportionately on my wife. And that hurts
absolutely.
Her, not
me. Absolutely.
Well, did you take time off when your children were born, Hector?
I did, but I'm not a typical case because I'm a university professor, so I had a flexible schedule. So I was able to, I gave Sebastian a lot of time. At the ages of Adam's kids, and you know, when he was a baby and a toddler, I remember distinctly, I couldn't wait to get home and play with him. I mean, it was so special. It's the best memory I have with Sebastian. It was so much fun. You could see a brand new human being just experiencing things for the first time ever. And it was pure joy. So I don't regret any of that.
I didn't have that. I had the other experience of feeling like you needed to be on the treadmill. And you needed to go and you needed to go. And I did not take a bunch of time. I didn't. And I loved hearing Adam's story just a moment ago. And Hector, yours too, of spending that time when they were very young. I guess my best memory of those early, early days is I used to anchor a newscast in Baltimore, my hometown, and I'd finish up at 11:30 or so, and the kids had figured out my schedule.
Right.
So I'd get home, I don't know, 12:15 or whatever it was at that time, and they would hear me come through the door, and they would come downstairs, right, and just hang out with me, which was amazing time. So we would sit there and watch the late Sports Center. that's what I remember.
Oh, all right.
But I was on that treadmill. And so I love hearing that these guys had that time to really bond early on. I was crazy chasing this career. I got a little guilt behind that as well.
Well, I'm sure. So I'm wondering if now, you know, speaking with your kids about that time, they're adults, you can have that conversation. Is that one of those unspoken things?
We literally would talk. Well, I was talking about it with my son. Last night we were walking his dog, and my daughter was coming home from work, and she drives by. Hey, you want to come walk with us? No, I'm really tired. You guys walk. So we take the walk, and And we're talking about it last night. There was a period of time when my son was 13 and my daughter was 10 where I left the country. I was working in the Middle East. I was covering the biggest story on the planet, which was the Arab Spring at the time, but I was away from my kids. And and that was a really difficult period because the one thing I didn't want is to repeat what I thought were some of the sins of my dad. And here I was for this chunk of time, and it was a significant chunk of time. I was an absentee dad. I was overseas, and I was making a living to support the family back here in Atlanta, but I was away from my kids, and that kind of sucked, if I can say that.
Tony Harris is... You just did, Tony.
I did.
Tony Harris is with me, as is Adam Ragusa and Hector Fernandez. So let's get into that. I mean, you just talked about, you know, you didn't want to make the same mistakes as your dad.
Yeah.
And sometimes dads are models, sometimes
That's the model,
right.
Yes.
But sometimes it's like you want to do exactly what they didn't do. But, you know, raising kids, this is a huge responsibility. And I think... in our culture anyway, women are raised thinking like someday I will have kids. Did you think a lot about like, how do I want to raise a child? Is that something that you put a lot of energy into when you're growing up, for example? And
well,
when
in my case, I had it a lot easier than my dad. My dad, I think, did a pretty good job. He was a medical doctor, an OBGYN. But for example, when I was in college, my dad had to pay so that I wouldn't be kidnapped.
What?
You know, being a dad in Colombia, where I come from, is certainly not as easy as being a dad in the
States. And he was prominent. Yeah, he was successful.
But my fears came a lot later. I mean, I certainly did not have fears before Sebastian was born, but I recall distinctly that after he was born, I experienced fear of flying. Each time I flew, I had this thing like, oh my God, what's going to happen if something happens to me? I'm not going to be there for him. That is something that I easily can recall.
Adam, I hear you chiming up. Fear about your children's safety. How did that play into your fathering?
Well, so part of it is that we've had a bit of a rough time with medical stuff. So, you know, my son Freddie, when he was two, after he just turned two, he broke his left femur and had to go into what they call a spica cast, which is like a half body cast. And it was like terrible. And then 6 months later, Leo was born. 2 days after that, Freddie broke his right femur and went into that cast again. And so... man, that if you can imagine the hell that couple of months was, you know. So I'm really paranoid about their safety all the time, watching a kid go through that kind of suffering. And I don't know. So I worry about my own well-being. Yeah, I worry about getting hurt and not being able to care for them. That stresses me out. But I suppose I worry about them some more. And I was never really... someone who was really into children or was really moved by the stories of children or anything like that. But like now it's like anytime there's something on TV about a kid being hurt or like any of this stuff about migrant kids getting mistreated at the border, like I can't watch it. Like I have to, I can't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, often times we hear that, you know, man is hesitant. And then once he sees that child, everything changes for him. Did it happen for you, Tony?
Absolutely. So the rule for me has always been do no harm. I don't know.
That's harder than it sounds.
Well, it's hard. Yes.
That's hard.
But because... I think, Tony, that belongs to this era of like raising kids by benign neglect, right?
And so for me, it's where's the guidebook? And again, it's, you know, that sort of negative role model experience of my dad in my life. And it's like, okay, these are the things that I don't want to do, but what are the affirmative things to do? What's in the guidebook for doing this thing properly, the right way? And I've just tried to figure it out. And it's an opportunity for me to say thanks to their mom, because in those critical years when I'm chasing the career and trying to keep the roof over their heads, she was the rock of that. They're home with me now, right? And I feel like in many ways, I'm learning these kids all over again, which is actually kind of a wonderful blessing.
So again, the moms get props on Father's Day. But all right, so you all have sons. We just have a couple minutes. But, you know, this idea of masculinity, manliness, you know, something now is being called toxic masculinity, hiding emotions, avoiding close relationships with other boys or men, you know, having to be macho. So what do you think? How has that concept of what it means to be a man and raise a man changed since you were kids?
I think it has changed a lot, and I'm so happy it has changed. I mean, you can still see in older generations that they stick to the old constructs. But for example, I mean, when I was a kid, it was ridiculous how rigid it was to what people thought it was it meant to be a man. Nowadays, men help more at home. They even understand that being in touch with their emotions, their feelings, is not a bad thing. It's okay to be metrosexual. It's okay to have gay friends. And it's okay if your female partner, and I'm talking just from a heterosexual perspective, makes more money than you do. I mean, and you shouldn't feel like your manliness is being threatened, or you shouldn't feel insecure at all about that.
It so sounds wonderful to me, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I'm not saying everybody has it, but these are things that have changed. As a professor in my alma mater used to say, you know, feminism will finally make men free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Tony, I'm thinking for you. And, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates in his book, you know, wrote about, he was writing a letter to his son, basically, about being a man in this country, an African-American young man who was there. In American culture, threatening.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering for you, how were you trying to work with your kids to communicate, you know, you got to be hard, but you got to be
soft. Virginia, we talked about this last night on the walk, and I couldn't remember a moment where we had the conversation that everyone talks about, right? Where you sit the kids down and you say, hey, look, you know, this is what life is going to be like for you as a black woman. This is what life is going to be like for you as a black male. And my son Michael said to me, no, we never had the talk, but my son and both of my kids have been readers since I can remember. And Michael said to me last night, look, I read, I knew what was going on. I'm a reader. And so we never had the conversation, but I got it. I picked it up. And you guys were always there to reinforce and to answer questions if I had them. So he's done a lot of this work, and my daughter has done a lot of this work, both of them, for themselves.
Well, Tony Harris, thank you so much for speaking with us. Adam, we're going to have to hold it right there. Tony Harris is host of Scene of the Crime on Investigation Discovery. Adam Ragusea, journalist in residence at Mercer University. Tony and Adam have both been guest hosts on this show, and I'm so happy
glad you're here. Are you kidding me? That's an early shift. That's an early wake-up call. Come on.
Now you can sleep.
And Georgia State University professor Hector Fernandez.
A
thank
pleasure.
You all.
Always a pleasure.
Happy Father's Day to absolutely all of you.
Thank you very much, and
of course,
happy Father's Day to everybody.
We want to hear from you. How do you rate Father's Day on a scale of 1 to 10? Call us at 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter and Facebook. And please join us on Monday. This is On Second Thought from Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Virginia Prescott. Have a great weekend.